Good morning and happy new year to everyone who is online watching us this morning. And I want to start with a joke, and it goes like this. A man went to the optician for his eye test. The optician asks him what he can see. The man replies, "I see empty airports, empty football grounds, closed theatres, and closed pubs." The optician replies, "That's perfect. You have 20/20 vision." Thank you for those in the church. I did get a bit of a laugh. But I think when we think about 2020, I remember going back to the beginning of 2020, we all started, didn't we, 2020, and lots of companies and organizations and even churches said, you know, 2020 vision, 2020 is going to be a wonderful year. And of course, it's probably not turned out as we expected. And I think when we came to New Year's Eve, lots of us at home on our own, we were thinking, I'm glad that's the end of 2020. Roll on 2021. And I thought to myself, well, what are we going to speak about this morning? And before Christmas, I actually prepared my sermon. I got it all done. And, you know, as a pastor, you kind of put that down. You think, that's sorted. I get up on the 3rd of January and I can preach. I don't have to do any work before then. And then I sensed that actually God said, no, it's time for something different. I need to give you a different word. So I've had to park that one. And what I want to speak about this morning is my personal reflections for 2020. How I can look back and think, well, what happened? What was God doing? And there are three things, because when I preach, there are always three things I want to say. And the first thing is that actually I realized that God was good throughout 2020. Whatever happened, God provided and God blessed, and God was always present. I think it's true for all of us that 2020 was an emotional roller coaster. For many of us, we had quite a few lows and not so many highs. And as I think back as pastor of the church, my heart is to build the church, to teach and to pastor, to love and to lead. And I think for me, 2020 was a year of so many frustrations. Some of you know I'm a diabetic, so I'm kind of on the vulnerable list. And I found myself at home not being able to minister. And people were dying, and people were saying, well, can you take the funeral? And I was saying, well, I can't. I can't come out. I need to shield myself. And there were opportunities to serve the community in chaplaincy. And again, I had to say, well, I can't do that. And I have to admit, at times, I felt so discouraged. And there are times when I felt, actually, do you know, I just want to give this up. I don't want to be the pastor of the church. I can't keep doing this. I am failing. And I felt I just wanted to walk away. And I'm sure I'm not the only one who had those kind of experiences. I think they were shared experiences. Many people just felt, I don't want to do this anymore. For those who work in the NHS and the pressure they were under through the first wave and the second wave, I'm sure they were feeling, you know, I don't want to do this. For those who teach, those in school, the pressure they are under to constantly go in and teach children, and they do a wonderful job, but it is so hard emotionally. Anyone who works with people found it tough because you were not able to do the things that you wanted to do. But through it all, I felt God was there bringing encouragement. We battle in our heads, don't we? What is God doing? And as I look back over the months, I realize, you know, actually, you know, why did God take my brother who is younger than me? Why did God take a good friend, Gordon Tuck, pastor of a large church down in Southampton? And you kind of struggle because you think, well, why, God, are you doing this? But what I was reminded of is that God is good and that God is good all the time. And that came to me particularly through a song which is called The Goodness of God. And we're going to sing it later because it, as a song, it means so much to me. And the words go like this, says, "And all my life you have been faithful. All my life you have been so, so good." And whatever we've been through, that the goodness of God does not change. The words go on to say, "And I will sing of the goodness of God. I love your voice. You have led me through the fire in the darkest night. You were close like no other. I remember as I drove to Gordon Tuck's funeral, listening to that song and just kind of feeling so emotional and just tears rolling down my face, thinking, why God? And the song just reminded me that God is good and that God is good all the time. And I don't know what you've been through in 2020, but I want you to understand that God hasn't changed and that his power and his strength are still the same. He still loves you. He still will provide for you. He is still there for you. I know that through the last few months, probably two passages have been preached many times. The first one is Philippians 4. And in Philippians 4, verse 19, it says this, "And my God will meet all your needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus." And so often we think about needs, don't we? We think about, well, have I got enough money in the bank? Is there food in the fridge? But actually what Paul is saying is that all our needs can be met by God. And when we are weak and when we're struggling, God is there to lift us up, pick us up, and strengthen us. And the other passage that has been preached so many times is Psalm 23. "And the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want." And again, God is promising that whatever we go through, whether we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, God is with us. And we need to hold on to that. And we need to rejoice in that. And we constantly need to look to God for that. A verse that kind of came to me this week is this. It's found in Deuteronomy 33, verse 27. It says this, "The eternal God is your refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms." And I think that's a verse that perhaps we need to hold on to as we go into 2021. That actually underneath us are God's everlasting arms, and he is able to hold us and strengthen us, and we can walk with him as we go into this new year, whatever it brings us. The second thing I realized through lockdown is how important the church is and how much I love the church. And we are blessed to have the internet, aren't we? We're now streaming to all kinds of people all over the place, and God has blessed us with the internet. But actually, I love the church, and I am so desperate that we meet once again, that we gather. And we seem to be meeting and then not meeting and then meeting, and now we're not meeting. And, you know, I'm just so desperate for us to meet as a church. And we're in tier four. We all know that, don't we? And actually, churches can be open. But is it safe? And I think that's the thing that we had to work through as a leadership team. Is it safe? And you know, as we went through the Christmas period, I kind of had an internal battle going on in my head because I was so desperate that we keep the church open because the government says we can. And yet there were messages going backwards and forwards. And I have to honor Emma here, and I have to apologize because actually Emma and I, we just have this relationship when it comes to COVID guidelines. That I am always saying, can't we do this? And Emma's saying, well, actually, if you read section 4, paragraph 3, she's always saying, well, no, we shouldn't be doing that. And I'm going, but we need to do it. We need to open the church. We need to gather God's people. She's saying, well, no, we don't. And I just need to apologize to her because every meeting we go to, we seem to have this kind of head-to-head. And I apologize because all I want so much is that the church can gather again. Because church is just so crucial. It's crucial to me, but it is the hope of the world. The church is the hope of the world, and it's almost like I feel that we've been silenced, we've been put to one side. And I know that's not true. But my heart is that as a church that we can gather again, that we can join together in worship, that we can be the community that we have been, and even more. And so I am so passionate about the church. But I am also concerned for the church. And my message this morning was from the book of Haggai. That's the sermon I'd prepared. And we all know about the book of Haggai, don't we? No, you don't, do you? But the book of Haggai is a great book. It's only three chapters, worth a read. But what happened was that the people had returned from exile, and God sent them a prophet called Haggai, and he preached three messages over 4 months. He didn't even do one a month. How about that? He was kind of came and gone from the scene. But basically, his message to the people was Why are you living in your paneled houses when the temple of God lies in ruins? And what happened was the people had started not to focus on worship, but they started to focus on their own lives and the energy they should have put into worshiping God and serving God had been directed to their own lives. And for me, I just felt, well, actually, there is something in that, isn't there? And there is a danger that as Christians, that we have got out of the habit of worship, that we've got out of the habit of gathering. And if we do come online, it's very much a passive thing. And my heart is that as a church, that we don't lose the passion we have for Christ. Because he is our Savior, he is our Lord. And the people in the time of Haggai, they had lost their passion for God. And so I challenge you this morning, you are part of God's church. Are you still as passionate for him? Do you still want to worship him and follow him and love him and serve him and give to him? I love the church and I am so desperate that we come back together as God's people and we start to serve our community. We start to show the love of God to people around us. So we are shut down, but we are still the church and God still has his purposes. And let's make this a time of preparation for what God is going to do. And that's the third thing I want to say is actually, I believe passionately that God's blessing, a rich blessing is coming from God. That God is going to do some amazing things in the future. Again, I just want to say the church is the hope of the world. And, you know, so much has been put on the vaccine, hasn't it? You know, once we got the vaccine, everything's going to be fine. No, it won't be fine. There are hundreds and thousands of millions of broken people out there whose lives have been shattered, whose hearts have been broken, who have suffered loss, who are desperately hurting and alone. And a vaccine's not going to fix that. And I believe the church needs to be ready to receive, ready to minister, ready to reach out with the love of Christ to those around us. When lockdown started, I remember leading a prayer meeting, and it was a church leaders prayer meeting, and I quoted from the book of Habakkuk, another great Old Testament prophet. And there's a verse in Habakkuk 3, verse 2, it says this, Lord, I have heard of your fame. I stand in awe of your deeds. Lord, repeat them in our day. And that's what we want, isn't it? We want to see the blessing, the mighty power of God demonstrated around us and in our lives and through us as his church. This is a time for God's people to prepare themselves. Because God is going to do amazing things. I remember many years ago when I was very ill, I had to have some surgery and I was off for some time. When I was ill, I remember God giving me a verse. It's found in Joel chapter 2. We're doing a lot of the Old Testament at the moment, aren't we? But Joel chapter 2 says this, I will repay you for the years the locusts have eaten. And the context was that I'd been quite ill and ministry was really tough and being with people was tough, and physically I was kind of not 100% all the time. And I've just felt that God was saying, actually, you know, you've lost a number of things, but I will make it up to you. In the future, there will be blessing, more blessing than you realize. And that came true for me. I realized that actually, once things had been sorted out physically, God brought great blessing to my life, and it was like God was repaying me for what I'd lost. And I feel that that verse is true for us as a church. Maybe at this point there is loss and there is difficulty, but God is going to do something amazing in the future. And what our role is as the people of God is to put our trust in him and to hold on to him and have our faith and our eyes locked on him. To see what he is going to do and to be ready to be used by him. Psalm 27, one of my favorite psalms, says this. I am still confident of this. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and take heart and wait for the Lord. And that's what we are called to do. We are called to wait on God. And I believe we will see the blessing of God, the rich blessing of God coming upon our lives, upon our church, upon his people in the days ahead. As we walk into 2021, I wonder if you are excited, whether you feel that it's going to be a year that is a year of blessing. There was a speech, I believe, given by one of the kings, and his New Year's speech, I think on the radio, I think it was King George, read this, and it said this: I said to the man who stood at the gate of the year, give me a light that I may tread safely into the unknown. And he replied, go out into the darkness and put your hand into the hand of God. That shall be to you a better than a light and safer than a known way. So I went forth, and finding the hand of God, trod gladly into the night. I just want you this morning to decide whether, as you walk into 2021, whether you will put your hand into the hand of God and trust him and walk with him. Because walking with him, as the poem says, is better than a known way. So let's pray that this year will be a year of blessing. Let's pray that we see the hand of God at work. And let's pray that each of us will walk with him into this new year. Let's pray together, shall we? And then we're going to worship a bit more. We're going to sing that song, The Goodness of God. We're going to also sing a song which says, Yes, I Will, which is a declaration of what we are going to do, that we are going to fully trust and walk with our God. Let's pray together, shall we? Let's take a moment to be still. And let's take a moment just to thank God for his goodness and his presence with us, that he has blessed us, that he has walked with us through this year. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you that you are true to all your promises, that you have never left us, you've never forsaken us, but you have constantly been with us. And Lord, we thank you that you have kept us by your strength and by your grace and your mercy. You have kept us. And Lord, as we walk into 2021, we do want to pray that we would know your blessing. We want to pray, Father, firstly, that we would make you the center of our lives, the priority. Lord, that we would give and love and serve you as we should. And lastly, Father, I want to pray that you would help us to walk in your ways, to follow your paths, to be obedient to your word, and to serve you with all our hearts. So, Lord, now we pray that you might bless us, that your face might shine upon us, that you might be gracious to us, and give us your peace. May your favor be upon us. And may your presence go with us. And we pray this now in Jesus' name. Amen.